charcuterie. The main outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife, and the woods are just outside your way. So get outside and find it in the main outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the main outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your outdoors hotline. Each Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio. To the main outdoors.
Welcome to the main outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V. Paul Reynolds.
Good evening to you, and we'd like to wish you a happy Veterans Day, and we'd like to say thank you to everybody listening tonight who are serving their country now or have served your country. Thank you all for your service. Okay, we have a good show lined up tonight. We have we have not one but two guests tonight in the studio. I'll introduce them in just a second, but I'll give you a hint. We're going to talk tonight about hunting brown bears in Alaska. I think you'll find it interesting. They have some stories to share, and we're looking forward to that. Want to introduce the crew, though, first, the radio crew that makes this show possible every week. The two engineers in there in Studio B, the man now behind the toggle switches, he is the sage of Grand Lake Stream, Norman Plord.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome aboard.
And to his right is the chief engineer, the founding engineer, the man who's been here since year one, Mr. James Layton, the banjo-picking bush flyer from Mr. Fields Pond. I can't see you, Jim, but I know you're there.
Fields Pond, America.
Fields Pond, America.
Good evening, everybody. Going to have a great show tonight.
You betcha.
Wonderful guest.
And, of course, the co-host of the show, the anchor who's with us every week. He is a registered Maine guide. He's written a bunch of great books on fishing, my friend Bob Lehman.
Thank you, sir. And you haven't got a deer yet, huh?
Oh, no, but I have plenty of time.
You have plenty of time.
Plenty of time.
You could track one probably Tuesday. It's going to snow.
Yeah, I heard that.
Guy's going to get one.
Yeah, looking good.
Look forward to that.
Yeah.
And Diane, she's out there trying, too.
There you are.
Okay.
She's right here.
Yeah. I forgot to introduce.
You forgot Diane, didn't you?
Why do I do that? Boy, am I in trouble. Week after week.
Well,
I'm sorry. You know, you're hidden by the computer screen.
Yes,
that's why I couldn't see
you.
My bride, Diane, is with us, my driver, and she's with us tonight, and we're so pleased to have you here, Diane.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody.
All right. Let's see. Outdoor Digest time, brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal and Maine Outdoor Publications. I'd like to remind you that we have launched a brand new top shelf website now, and we want you to visit it. It's markedly improved from the earlier one. There's all kinds of great reading about hunting and fishing in the outdoors, so check it out. To get there, you go to sportingjournal.com. Check it out. And by the way, Bob probably not even aware of this yet because he's not a computer wonk type guy, right?
I am not.
But on that new website, there's a section called Outdoor Books. And on that, you'll find a list of my books and Bob's books and some other great outdoor books. Got to get you on there, Ken, by the way.
Yeah. Okay.
And we are going to – did I introduce the guests? I didn't introduce the guests. Boy, I'm – What? You're supposed to remind me of that. Before we get to the Outdoor Digest, and I'd like to introduce our honored guest tonight in the studio. He's been with us before. He's written a great book called Chasing High Adventure. And he was a big game hunter in Africa, and he's got some great stories in his book. And he's with us tonight. Ken Winters, nice to have you here.
Thank you. It's good to be here. I appreciate it. The opportunity.
Our pleasure. And with him, the man who is the brown bear hunter from Alaska, his son Kirk Winters, who's the pastor at the Rock Church. And we're so pleased to have you here, Kirk.
Thank you. I appreciate you hosting us here tonight.
All right. And I apologize for that belated introduction. Nice to have you here. We'll be talking to you in just a minute. A couple of things here on Outdoor Digest. Oh, one other thing we wanted to remind you, too. If you're looking for a good Christmas gift for sportsmen, check out on our website, check out the outdoor books section. I think you'll find some nice reading in there, some books that would make great gifts for any sportsman in your life. Let's see.
Or woman.
Or woman. Exactly right. Let's see. I want to congratulate the bear man, biologist for the Department of Fish and Wildlife, Randy Cross, has retired after 33 years on the job. And I don't know if any of you have ever met Randy. He's a delightful guy. He's been a patient man, a teacher, and he's a highly respected throughout the country bear biologist. Do you know him, Ken?
I know him, yes.
Randy?
Yes,
I am. I suspect he's going to be missed.
He will be missed. He's certainly a fixture there, and he's done a wonderful job over the years. And we thank Randy for his service for the Fish and Wildlife Department and wish him a very happy retirement. And I know Randy loves to hunt, so he's probably going to spend the whole month deer hunting. And I hope he gets a deer. Let's see. Oh, a new warden colonel has come aboard the Department of Fish and Wildlife. And you know who the warden colonel is. You used to work for him, right, Bob?
Absolutely.
Back in the
dark ages?
Yeah,
back in the old days.
Yeah. Bob was the colonel's the top guy. Top warden.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he's the guy what's in charge, right?
You bet.
And the new colonel is a fellow that Diane and I knew when he was a rookie warden down in Hamden. Mm-hmm. Dan Scott has become the new warden colonel, and we'd like to wish Dan the very best.
Congratulations.
Wow. I know Dan.
Do you know Dan?
I do.
Yeah, that's quite a responsibility.
Yeah, him and his daughter tied flies with us.
I was going to say, I met him at tied flies.
Yeah, real nice guy.
A good choice.
I think
Dan will do a great job, I'm sure. So anyway, congratulations to him for his promotion. One other thing here before Bob, you do have a fishing report.
I do.
Before Bob gets to his fishing report, just want to remind you that this is kind of interesting. Haven't heard this in a long time, but the Department of Fish and Wildlife is recruiting deputy game wardens.
Deputy game wardens. That's
which is
what I was for
what
quite
you
a
were,
while.
Right?
I was,
for many, many years.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, to chance to to learn to be a game warden, and they're recruiting for this. And if you're interested, you can contact the Maine Department of Fish and Wildlife. Won't read you the whole thing. I have a press release here. Basically, they're looking for trainees for the Maine Warden Service. So this is a chance maybe to make a stepping stone to becoming a full-fledged game warden. If you're interested in becoming a deputy game warden, which is a part-time position, you can call the Maine Warden Service. And I think the number at Augusta, if I haven't, my memory serves me, is 287-8000.
Yeah.
I believe that's right, isn't it? 287-8000.
I think you're right.
Isn't that amazing how that stays right up there, even in advanced age?
Yeah. Quite.
287-8000, if you want to call them.
They have to take warden tests, I would presume.
Well, let me see here. Individual must possess knowledge of wildlife, hunting, fishing, trapping, and they're specifically looking for folks to patrol the lakes, looking for safe boating, willingness to work out of doors in bad weather.
Oh, sure.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
They're given an age.
Rain or snow.
Bad weather.
Age mentioned? Or
is what?
Is there any age mentioned?
It's a tough time of year to break them in because it's hunting season.
You're not too old, Norm.
No,
seriously. They'll hire anybody at any age. I'm serious.
I was just curious. I didn't know if...
Well, you ought to check it out.
That'd be interesting.
I think you should.
A fisherman and a trapper and a whole nine yards.
Yeah. And I'll put in the good word for you, which could be the kiss of death.
I will.
It's all volunteer.
You bet. Okay. And that does not wrap up Outdoor Digest because we're standing by for Bob's fishing report. After we get the intro music out of the way.
Get ready, Bob.
I'm ever ready.
I'm the Big Boss Bass.
Yeah.
And you work for me.
Yeah.
This is my rock.
Yeah.
Diane's giving him the cut signal. What's that? You don't like that music?
I know. Great. Bob
loves
is
it.
Not a bass fisherman.
You know, Bob, when we first started it, Bob hated that, but now he loves it.
Yeah, okay, good.
What's going on in the fishing world, Bob?
Well, now, you know, you and I were talking here today a little earlier in the day about Branch Lake was beautiful out there for trolling right now.
Oh, I tried to get Diane to go out and salmon troll.
Nice salmon trout, chop and everything.
Wonderful.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
It's like fishing in April.
It was probably only 27 degrees. It was lovely.
Oh, it's lovely out there. But, you know, they're probably right on top.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Frozen to death.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, put a stream of fly out there and hang on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you know, if you could fish right now, you wouldn't be many fishermen. You know why?
Why?
Now, you take down to West Grand.
Mm-hmm.
They could fish in October on West Grand until the 20th of October.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think there's any fishermen on the lake? No. Not even one.
No.
You know why? Because they couldn't keep a fish.
Oh,
that's big. If they can't keep a fish, they just won't go. That's just it. That's the way it is. That's too bad, too. But they'll go fly fishing on the river and throw them back, you know, and they're really busy. up until the 20th of October. Yeah. Every year, I mean, that's big. But they've all put their boats away in the lake, and I would go. I mean, I'd fish the river, and I'd put a boat in and go fishing the lake. And
you
I,
would?
I would, yeah, right.
When it's that cold?
Yeah. I don't. Anyway.
Yeah.
Or you can go fishing up to East Outlet.
Still can.
Moosehead,
right?
Absolutely.
Anytime you
that's
want.
That's open anytime you want, year-round. But the big fishing, too, is, you know what the really big fishing is? The problem with the fishing in the fall?
Frozen guides.
You got it. Guides. Yeah. Frozen guides. Yeah. I mean, you know. Yeah. And you know what that is. You've had that happen.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's desperate, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's like we were talking. Opening day at Grand Lake Stream is a good time to stay home.
Yeah. Oh, in the spring, April 1st. Man. Oh, my. Always snow. Oh. Slippery banks.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Are you a fisherman?
I am.
Yeah? You ever fish Grand Lake Stream in April?
Have you really?
Opening day?
Not opening day. Oh. No. A couple weeks in.
Yeah.
Smart,
yeah,
that's right.
Excellent.
Smart.
Excellent fly fishing.
That's smart.
Yeah. Bob, you know how to keep those guys from freezing?
No, how?
WD-40.
Well, yeah, but the line freezes, Jim.
I know.
The line freezes. The guides you can don't worry about so much, but the line, you know.
Yeah, the water on the line.
Oh, it's desperado.
Yeah.
Desperado. It's not good. One other quick thing, if I may. Fly time just around the corner.
Yeah.
So you really should check your stuff in right now because the moths get in during the summertime, and you better look them over because every two or three years I get in there, Mr. Winters is shaking his head, yes.
Absolutely.
Because you know all about it, don't you?
Yeah.
And those moths get in there, and you don't even know it until you start to get your stuff out, so check it out.
Yeah.
How do they get in your, if you got a closed?
Well, they work their way, I don't know. That's a good question because they're buggers. They can flutter around and work their way in there.
They'll ruin you.
They'll ruin you. You get some beautiful like jungle cock necks and maybe some really nice cock necks and everything, and then buggers, and all of a sudden you open up and they're ruined, destroyed.
Half-eaten.
I've had it happen. But anyway, good time to check it out.
Okay.
And that's my report.
All right. Excellent report. We appreciate that.
Yep.
And again, if you joined us late, our guests tonight are Ken Winters, his son Kirk, and we're going to talk about an exciting brown bear hunt in Alaska in just a few minutes. Right now, though, we have an outdoor trivia question, which is good for a Bob Lehman is going to give away one of Alvin Terrio's special flies.
Right? Yeah, Alvin was here a couple of weeks ago, and he left a bunch of flies, and let's give them away.
All right.
And, Alvin's a good guy. We'll advertise his fly shop up there and just below Patton.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And so we have a question here, and we're going to ask Kirk. He didn't know this before the show. Can you read the question there, Kirk? Right there on the script. See where it says outdoor trivia question.
What was the name of the recently retired Maine Warden Colonel?
That's not quite so easy. So you think about that. 1-800-966-1039, and we'll be right back.
You get it.
The name is right there.
Click on it. Click on it. Right back. It's not doing anything. Ah. It's not doing anything.
Okay. Well, I guess we're not going to have a commercial break, right?
Correct.
The computer's not giving us anything.
Okay, well, the heck with the computer. Let's go. Let's cut right to the chase. Let's give us a call at 1-800-966-1039 if you think you know the answer to Kirk's question.
And there we are.
Oh, now we're taking a break.
There.
Okay, we'll be right back. You stay with us. Okay, we're back with Maine Outdoors, and our guest tonight, Kirk Winters, wants you to answer the question, what was the name of the recently retired Warden Colonel who was succeeded by Warden Dan, Lieutenant Warden Dan Scott? Do we have a caller standing by?
We do.
Okay, good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors.
Yes, hello. I believe it was Joel Wilkinson.
All right. I think that's the right answer. Congratulations to you. Now, we thought, we speculated that might be a difficult question. How'd you know the answer to that?
I'm just real smart.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
Touché.
I love it.
All right. All right, Mr. Smarty Pants. What's your first name, Mr. Smarty Pants?
It's Dan.
It's Stan?
Dan, D-A-N.
Oh, Dan, D-A-N. Okay. Congratulations to you, Dan. Where are you calling us from tonight?
Bangor.
In Bangor. Okay. Well, you've got the right answer, and Bob Lehman's going to send you a couple of Alvin Terrio's famous flies. I'm not sure. Do you know what they are?
Well, there's a maple syrup.
Maple syrup. That's his.
That's always a good one. And there was another. I think it was another nymph. Yeah. Thinking nymph, a real nice one that the Albin sells on a regular basis up there. So,
all right,
I'll send him one of those.
Okay, you a fisherman, Dan?
No, I'm not. But
okay.
I'll take the flies. I enjoy his show. It's a great show.
Well, would you rather have a new pickup truck?
Smarty pants. <band. laughs>
Yeah, two can play that game, Dan. All right. Anyway, congratulations. If you don't use those flies, give them to somebody who will. Would you?
Oh, I will, definitely.
All right, and we appreciate your listening, and happy Veterans Day to you. And if you stay on the line, I think Jim Layton's going to get your address. Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you, sir. Take care. All right, that was the correct answer, Colonel Joel Wilkinson. And he was on the job for, I think, 20 years or so. So he did his time, and we wish him the very best. Let's get down to business here. Again, if you just joined us, our guests are Ken Winters, who was with us, a couple months ago, Ken, mm-hmm. right?
A month ago, yes.
And who has a great new book called Chasing High Adventure. And Ken has chased dangerous big game all over Africa numbers of times. He's got some exciting stories in his book, and as I said before, we commend that book to you. But tonight we're going to focus on his son, who has an exciting adventure to share with us tonight. Kirk, again, nice to have you on the show.
Thank you.
And for the benefit of those who may not know, they know Ken because he's been with us before, but tell the folks a little bit about your background, how you ended up being a hunter and a fisherman, would you?
Well, it helps to have a dad who's obsessed. So from the time I was old enough to walk, I think I've always had a gun and
a
fishing pole.
Yeah.
And dad, right from the time I was a child, took me hunting literally all over the world.
No kidding.
From
that was
the
great.
Southeastern United States to the Northwest to Alaska to Europe to Africa.
Wow, you have been all those places.
All those
too.
Places with dad.
Wow. Yep. That's a nice
boy.
I know. Blessed.
Nice dad to have, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Fantastic. All right. So hunting is in your blood, no question about it.
It is.
And you're a deer hunter probably, right?
Deer hunter, bear hunter, moose hunter. My boys now just shot a moose a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, Diane was very pleased to hear that, wasn't you, Diane?
Of course I was.
Well, congratulations on your moose. That's great.
Thank you.
Let's cut to the chase here and talk a little bit about your hunt. For those who may not know, what is the difference between a brown bear and a grizzly? Are they the same species pretty much or what?
They're the same species as I understand it. The difference being that the brown bears are a little larger. They're on the coast, and they have a steady diet of salmon. So they seem to grow larger.
Wow. Yeah.
The Kodiak on Kodiak Island has a slightly different genetic makeup.
Yeah.
And their heads are a little bigger.
Are they?
But they're all a species or a subspecies of the grizzly bear. Is that right, Dan?
Yeah. The heads are bigger there, but the body's smaller.
Are they?
The body on the brown bear, where we went, we actually on the Aleutian chain. Mm-hmm. We were pretty close to Russia, actually.
Were you really?
We were way out there, way, way out.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, well, we were several hours flying time from Anchorage to where we got off.
Oh, so Kodiak Island is closer to mainland?
Yes, we were way beyond Kodiak Island.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Way out.
Yeah. Down the Alaskan Peninsula.
So was there a name to this place where you hunted?
We flew into Nelson Lagoon. It's a big town of 40 people, no roads. Yeah. You either fly in or take a boat in on the Bering Sea.
Oh.
And yep.
How far are you actually from Russia?
I don't know.
Well, we were
100 miles, 200 miles?
Oh, not much more than 100 miles.
No kidding.
Yeah, we're out there quite a ways.
Yeah.
I can recall I hunted there and it was there when I was in the military, 1963.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, I was there in Alaska hunting the day that President Kennedy was assassinated.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was the commanding officer of a unit up there, Green Berets, Special Forces.
Oh, in the Aleutian chain?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, had to get my troops back. Anyway, long and short of it is it's a great place to hunt, and I couldn't believe we had the opportunity to go, and that's why I...
Did you hunt when you were there in the military? Did you hunt
bear? When I was
bear?
In the military,
did you hunt bear?
No, I hunted everything, but you know, I did hunt bear.
You did hunt bear.
I didn't get one.
Didn't, but you
did. Hunted walrus.
Yeah.
caribou.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Wow, yeah. So, from your book, I gathered that you decided to put this hunt together, Ken, right?
I did. I did it as a gift for my son.
And your grandson. Yes,
and my grandson. It was Kirk's 50th birthday.
Oh, okay.
I thought that would be a nice birthday present to go up, be able to go up there and have a chance to shoot a bear.
I was, to a hunter, I can't think of a better birthday present.
I can't wait to see what 60 brings down.
Oh, yeah.
55 even.
Okay. And also, your son Joseph accompanied you.
He did. He's 17.
How old was he on the hunt?
16? He was 16 on the hunt.
16, okay. Yep. And had he done some hunting before that?
Yes, he shot several deer, yep. Canada, Maine.
Yep. Okay.
Moose now.
Yeah, oh, good.
But he's never shot a bear, but he wanted to come along and video. So he was our videographer.
Okay.
Is that what you call him?
Videographer, yeah.
And not only with that, he also sort of chronicled your trip because
he did.
In the chapter in Ken's book, according to what I read, Joseph is telling the story.
He wrote a good part of the story himself, yes.
Yeah. And I feel badly we couldn't have him with us tonight. I hope he's feeling better.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, so let's, can you kind of lay it out for our listeners? Start right from the beginning. For those of us who've never done a trip like that, I think it'll be interesting.
Sure.
How do you get there? What happens?
Well, let me just say this. A few years ago, we were going to go to Russia.
Yep.
And that trip fell through, which I was actually not too disappointed because I'm a little a little nervous about the aircraft in Russia, honestly.
I've heard that. I've had the helicopters vibrate pretty hard. Yeah.
We were going to go to Petropavlovsk, which is inside,
Siberia?
Yeah.
What were you going to hunt there?
Well, actually, it's in, not Siberia, I'm trying to think what it was. Kamchatka.
Peninsula, okay. Yes.
Yeah. But I had the trip all planned with the Russian government. The U.S. government changed the relationship with the Russian government, and they canceled our trip.
Oh, that's a lousy deal.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this time we said, well, we're going to go, we'll find another way to get around.
So did you write Putin a nasty letter?
I should have.
Yeah. Okay. So it worked out pretty good, though.
Yeah,
it did. So we ended up flying just Delta.
Yep. Yeah.
Flying
on Delta Airlines to Anchorage. Mm-hmm. We were there a couple of days and toured. And I was surprised that Anchorage was so large. 300,000 people.
It's a big place, yeah.
I describe it this way. You know, Baxter State Park and Mount Katahdin, beautiful. And in Alaska, there are 1,000 Mount Katahdins.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere as far as you see, just a Mount Katahdin. Yeah. It's just gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
You know, it was a thing that Diane and I were up there a number of years ago, and it was so expansive. It's almost intimidating.
Hmm. Yeah.
Did you find that? It's so big. And
so big.
Expansive and, incredible, yeah. So anyway, so you stayed in Anchorage.
Yep. And then we took a little flight to called King Salmon.
King Salmon, it's an island.
Yeah.
Or a place on an island,
Is it the island or right on the edge of the mainland?
On the edge of the mainland,
Near the Bering Sea. And then we took a charter plane, and this was kind of nerve-wracking, flying over a little charter plane over the Bering Sea for a couple hours. I can't remember how long the flight was, but I was nervous praying the whole way.
I bet you were, yeah.
Because the weather was so bad. We were there from, on the peninsula from May 8th.
Okay.
To the 18th.
Hold that thought, Kirk.
I will.
All right. You folks at home, you stay with us. It gets better. We'll be back in more right here on Maine Outdoors. And I meant to tell you, you're listening to Maine Outdoors tonight on the Voice of Maine News Talk Network, 101.3, 103.9, and 95.1 down in Rockland, the Voice of Maine. And if you'd like to make a call tonight, call into our show, to ask a question of our guest, what's the number, Bob?
1-800-966-1039, and you have to dial a whole number, even if you're local. 1-800-966-1039.
Are you sure of that?
I'm positive. I tried it.
You did try it?
I did, yeah. Have you never tried that?
No, I never have.
Oh, yeah.
No, I've never called in because I've always been in here.
But even if you're local, 1-800, yeah.
Okay, the other thing is Norm Plord and our engineer Jim Layton want to remind you that if you do call in, what, Jim? What, Norm?
Well,
stay on the line.
Yeah, stay on the line. You have to dial 1.
Yeah, but what else you got to tell them, right? Turn down your radio.
Turn down the radio, yeah, that's right.
Or you'll
turn
get a nasty echo.
Down.
Yeah, okay.
It'll be an eight-second delay or something like
8
that.
8-second delay. Okay, we're talking to Kirk a little bit. He was setting the stage for this hunt for the brown bear. And when we left, you were flying over the Bering Sea.
Yes.
Praying.
Praying. We flew into Nelson Lagoon, which is a little town of about 40 people. And no roads. The only way to get there is boat or plane. 40 people live in this town. And from there, we went along the coast, because there's no roads, to get to our base camp called David River. Mm-hmm. And so you have to wait for the tide. So I remember we stayed in one of the locals' home until the tide changed. And then you get in these old vehicles and you make a run for it and you get to base camp.
Okay. And you have earlier contracted with a highly respected brown bear guy.
Outfit, yes. Yeah.
And what is that outfit?
Well, his name.
Mountain Monarchs.
Of Alaska.
Of Alaska.
Yeah, this is the name of the outfit.
And you met him at some show, probably.
Met
him
at Safari Club, Dallas Safari Club, and also Safari Club International.
Okay.
And he was recommended to us by Jim Shockey.
Oh,
Jim Shockey who's a friend of mine, actually.
You know Jim Shockey?
Oh, yeah, quite well.
Do you really?
Yeah.
We're
friends. And he's a. And so he said, when I go on a brown bear hunt, this is the man I'm going with. David Leonard is his name. He was the proprietor of Mountain Monarchs of Alaska. David Leonard.
Okay. For the benefit of those who don't know, like Diane, who doesn't watch outdoor hunting fishing shows on TV, Jim Shockey is probably the icon, Diane, of outdoor TV program.
He is. Mm-hmm. I've watched quite a few.
He's about the only guy I watch. I don't watch the rest of them.
I've watched quite a few of his YouTube.
He has a good show going.
Yeah.
And you know him personally.
I know him personally, and I have a hunt already arranged to hunt with him.
Yeah.
But I don't think my health's going to allow me to do it.
Oh, that's too bad. So we digress here a little bit, but what kind of a guy is Shockey? You know him?
He's a very down-to-earth person.
Yeah?
Yeah. He is a... You'd think that it would go to his head in being all the fame he has, but he's not. He's a very down-to-earth person, extremely skillful hunter, and he's a Canadian through and through.
Yeah.
And he's just a very nice person. And I consider him to be a good personal friend.
Glad to hear that. He has a great show going there. Okay, Kirk, so we're driving the beach to get to base camp, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And your guide is with you and all your gear and everything?
No, the guide's at base camp. Mm-hmm. So he has it arranged for us to ride there. And on the way, I don't know how many bald eagles, golden eagles, seals on the beach.
Yeah.
Just immediately, you're in a whole different world.
That'd be fascinating.
Yeah, it was fascinating. Yeah. The golden eagles, surprisingly big.
Yeah.
Are they? And you see them occasionally fighting with the bald eagles. I mean, we saw literally hundreds of eagles.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So describe base camp. What's that like?
Base camp is made up of maybe 10, would you say, tar paper shacks. There's a mess camp where we all come together to eat. Mm-hmm. And then there are these little camps that you sleep on, just is very small. And that's kind of a holding place until you can fly out to your tents.
And the time of year is May, right?
Yeah. This is in May.
Yeah,
temperatures in the 40s, 50s there?
Yep. 40s, 50s, sometimes in the 30s.
Yeah.
And they have spike camps all throughout this huge territory. So you're at base camp. Yeah. And then when the weather changes, you take your flight out and meet your guide who's already at the spike camp, who has the tent set up.
Yeah.
Okay. So you arrive at camp. Are there other sports besides you and Joseph?
There were eight hunters.
Eight hunters.
Yep. From literally all over the world.
And each hunter has their own guide?
Each hunter has their own guide.
Yep.
The guides are in the spike camps, and you all kind of talk about
the hunt,
whatever.
Stories, the hunts.
Now, do these guys check you out pretty good to make sure you're a good marksman? Do you have to shoot your rifle?
We do. We shoot the rifles
and
make sure they're zeroed in.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask your experience, and they kind of pair you with a guide accordingly.
Yeah.
And I was thinking the success rate would be like 100% because there's so many bears in Alaska.
Yeah.
But it's not. There were some guys that had been there three or four times before they went through.
Yeah. Wow.
You see a lot of bears, but it's challenging to get them.
Is there a language barrier?
Not... Not there. They all speak English.
Oh, good.
Yep. Yep. But what's interesting is a lot of the guides live in the lower 48, and they take a couple months off from their family, and they move to Alaska for that season, and they have some interesting stories. A lot of these guys have been doing it for decades.
Yeah. I bet they do.
Yeah, several of them from Texas.
They were.
Yeah.
Texas.
So
any from Maine?
I didn't meet any from Maine, did you?
There were a couple. There was a hundred there from Maine, though.
Yes, there was.
So they vet you pretty carefully. They want to size you up
and
see whether you're
fairly
cool-headed, whether you shoot straight. And what did you have for a firearm? What
I used a 375 H&H. That was big, my rifle.
Big gun.
Yeah, we both have, that's our favorite cartridge
You use that in Africa, right?
Same for Africa. Yeah.
Is that like a 200-grain bullet, or what is that?
300-grain.
Yeah, 300. It was a little bigger. It was a, a wallop.
That is,
And you carry a handgun everywhere you go.
You do.
Everywhere you go.
I'm sure.
Yeah, and you carry a, what did we have for handgun? We had
You had a 44 Magnum, didn't you?
No. I had
we had the Casull, 454 Casull.
454 Casull. Yeah. Wow. And you keep it loaded, and you keep it with you every minute.
I bet you do, yeah.
You sleep with it.
Yeah, we do.
You sleep with a gun.
Yeah, literally put it underneath your tent.
Isn't it kind of hard on your back?
You can't go to you can't even leave your tent to go to the bathroom without taking a 454 Casull.
Do they tell
you
that?
True story.
Absolutely.
That's serious. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any other animals that are dangerous besides the brown bear?
There are wolves.
There are wolves there, right?
And there's caribou everywhere, but it would just be the wolves and the bear.
Wolves and bear,
So
At base camp, hospitable, food was pretty good?
Wonderful.
And was it just average food or was it fantastic?
I thought it was fantastic.
Fantastic food,
Chicken and steak and pork and sweets. And so they have a camp cook, and that's what she did. She just made food and a lot of it.
Homemade bread?
Yes.
Was there? I think there was.
Homemade bread. Yeah.
Homemade pies?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the lady sitting to your left used to do that up in Labrador.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
She made bread for 6 weeks. She made two loaves of bread and pies every day. And just from rolling that dough, her biceps got as big as Popeye. Looked like Popeye at the end of the show.
That's called kneading.
Kneading, yes. You were a good kneader. Okay. Anyway, so the chow was good. The guys were friendly.
Oh, yeah.
And you ran into some weather problems right off the bat, right?
I did. It was very discouraging, actually, because you're so excited to hunt.
Yeah.
You get zeroed in and you're waiting.
Yeah.
We waited 3 days. We could not get out of camp because the weather was so bad.
Just rain? Cold rain?
Oh, yeah. Sideways. And they had a flag that was all torn. And every day you'd go out and you'd see it. You could hear the wind whipping.
Yeah.
Right over the bank was the Bering Sea with the white caps rolling in. It was just miserable weather.
Yeah.
When you get briefed about this ahead of time, did they warn you that you could?
They said weather is king.
Oh, I bet.
And it is.
Yeah. So expect
sometimes you go there for a week and you never leave camp.
That's true.
Because you can't get out
for a whole week.
Because if they can't fly out, you can't go.
Right. Yeah.
You have to sit there doing nothing.
So you can't get where you're going if you can't fly.
Exactly. You get bored. I wish I had known that it was going to be that bad. Because you run out of things to read. You know?
Yeah, a lot of reading material.
Oh, yeah. You just read and just
And any particular clothing required up there? Probably some kind of a
good gear from Cabela's that we got. That was all waterproof.
Yeah,
waterproof, yeah.
And
yeah.
We got these rain jackets. We bought an Anchorage called Hallie Hansen, Dad.
Hallie Hansen.
Yeah, it's what all the fishermen use out on the Bering Sea. It's wonderful stuff.
Yeah. You know, I found over the years that the word waterproof is a very flexible word. A lot of the stuff they say is waterproof for about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you get soaked. But you got to have really high quality rain gear.
Yeah. It was expensive. We had to. Yep. They told us where we could buy it in Anchorage, and we had to go only there and buy it. And it was very expensive.
I see. Yep. Okay, so what we're going to do here, this would be a good time to take a short break, because after we have the break, we want to begin to fly to Spike Camp.
Yes.
And you folks at home, again, if you want to call and ask a question, you can do it anytime, and it's 1-800-966. What's the rest of it, Diane?
1039.
So, Bob, what's going on with the General Appliance and Brewer?
Well, why would anybody not go to General Appliance in Brewer? It used to be Perkins Appliance. They're right there on Center Street in Brewer. They have all kinds of gas, as you know, Paul, gas appliances, electrical appliances. They have a big crew of repairmen.
They just
call them and whammo. They know what they're doing. They have parts for all of, you know, all makes and models of
it's the only place to go.
Appliances. Well, there's no question about it.
Yeah, for
and they also sell compost toilets.
Ride the wave, baby.
Okay, thank you, James. Tell me what that means, Jim, if you would.
It's a wave of the future.
Okay.
You ride on that wave.
I'll accept that, yes. All right. So anyway, they do sell compost toilets. They sell a lot of them, too. And so that's the place to go, Paul. Have you been there?
I have been there many times. In fact, Al Elkin is a great guy.
He is.
And I have some camps, as you know, in the remote areas of Maine with propane. I have propane lights, propane refrigerators, don't we, Diane? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes I have to troubleshoot it myself because you can't get a guy to go up there.
Did you lose your power a week ago?
What? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But what we do is I call Al Elkin on the cell phone. I say, Al. Hi, Al. It's Paul Reynolds. I'm up here at the camp, and I can't get this darn refrigerator to work, Al. And I've tried taking it all apart, cleaned that. Al tells me what to do. And he doesn't send me a bill.
That's the
greatest part. So the point is, take away from this is, Bob, if you buy an appliance from Al, he stands behind everything.
Oh, everything. No question about it.
And if you take it up to your remote camp and you have to do it yourself, he'll help you through it.
He's an amazing guy. He really is. And they sell our books over there, too.
They do. Yep.
Yeah, that's great.
So General Appliance and Brewer.
It certainly is. General Appliance and Brewer. Easy to get to. Just come across the old Brewer Bridge. Bank of Brewer Bridge. Take a right and a left. You're on Center Street. They got practically the whole block there.
You bet.
Right on the right. Can't miss them.
Very affordable.
Yes, sir.
That's right, too. They're very affordable.
And they've been a sponsor of this program since year one. We appreciate having them as one of our sponsors.
Yes.
Okay. We're at camp on the Aleutian Chain, and we're at Davis River, right? You call it Davis?
David
River. And the goal is to wait for the weather to clear. It finally clears, and I bet you're pleased about that. How did Joseph take all this this waiting game? Did he do all of it?
Well, he did some reading, and they did have a TV with a DVD player, so he watched some TV, but he was getting antsy as well.
You guys don't play cribbage?
I have before, but...
Ken, you never taught these guys to play cribbage?
No. In fact, I don't play myself, but...
You can spend
We do a lot of reading and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. But you can get by with a lot of weather with a cribbage
board. Oh, you could. But I know you can. I know people do that.
Days and days.
You know what they did have there while we waited? They had four-wheelers. And so we went for some four-wheeler rides.
Oh, that's good.
Found some caribou sheds.
Oh, that's
so
great.
So that was fun.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Saw a bear.
Yeah.
Eating some ribs of a caribou.
Yeah. Okay, we get the Husky or the Super Cub all loaded up with the gear.
Yep.
And Joseph is in one plane with a pilot, and you're in another Super Cub.
Yes.
Right? And you take off right on the beach there or what?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. There's a little strip right there.
Right on the beach.
Right near the beach.
Okay.
Perpendicular to the beach.
So it's a fairly good day, a little sun out?
Not really. It was
borderline.
We weren't sure if we were going to be able to go or not, but they said, I think we got a little window.
How far to Spike Camp? How many miles?
Probably about 30 miles.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, and while we were flying pretty low, and you could see herds of caribou, and it's really amazing, the tundra, you know.
Yeah.
You can see the bears from the air.
Could you really? Yeah. Okay, so Super Cub you're in the Super Cub, and you're flying to the Spike Camp. What happens? You land on another beach?
We landed actually on a volcanic ash field right near Mount Pavlov, which was an active volcano in 2016.
Yeah.
Had smoke rising from the top of it. And so they've kind of have this field, I guess. It's not a field, but it's ash, this black ash. And they're able to land. They have these huge oversized tires, and they can land almost anywhere.
Wow.
Pretty amazing.
Sounds exciting. Is Jim still here?
Yes.
What do you think about that, Jim? That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
I love it.
I do, too. Man, I'm excited. Okay, so you bounce in there on those balloon tires, and what do you see? Are the tents all set up for you or what?
Yes, the tents are set up. There's a guide there, and there's a mess hall tent, and then there's a tent that Joseph and I slept in and his little pop tent. And so there's three little tents.
Mm-hmm.
There's no bathrooms or anything. I mean, these are little spike camps, you know, so you can pick them up in an instant and set them somewhere else if you needed to.
Yeah.
And so we just set up shop. There's a little cot in the tent and roll out our sleeping bags, tuck our handguns underneath just in case.
Yeah.
And what was interesting too is that just the terrain, there are these alder bushes that have these, I don't know what they're called, thorny kind of things.
Yeah.
And they're just a nasty tangled mess. And they're everywhere. And it's really difficult to get through. It's like a jungle of alders.
Oh, is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I pictured it like an open tundra.
There was that as well. But the tents are backed up against these alders.
Mm-hmm.
And the bears are amazing. They can just go in those alders and disappear.
Wow.
Mm. Yep. But they'll cut you up.
Okay, so you get to base camp and do you
spike
go hunt?
Camp.
Spike
camp.
I mean,
camp.
Spike, yep. Spike camp. Do you hunt the first day?
No, you can't fly and hunt the same. I think it's the same in Maine, right? If you fly, you can't hunt that day. You have to wait till the next day.
Is that so? I didn't know
I think
that.
It's the same in Maine.
Yes, it is.
It's the same in Maine. You can't hunt moose. You can't fly into a place in Maine and hunt moose the same day. You have to wait till the next day.
Because you might have spotted them on the way?
Yes.
Yeah, whether you saw anything or not, it's the fact that you flew there.
Well, what fun is that? Oh, that's what we should have done, Diane, is had a spotter.
Yeah, you can't use an airplane to spot either.
You can't. Well, that's no fun. Okay. So anyway, you get there, you can't hunt the first day.
Right. And then the next 2 days, rain and wind, we didn't see a bear. I was so discouraged because we were stalled in camp all these days. We finally get to spike camp. No bears.
You're stuck
rain.
There?
Oh, it was miserable.
Wow.
Now I'm getting frustrated.
I bet you are.
Yeah, we're 5 days into the hunt and haven't even seen anything.
Yeah.
And but it all changed when the weather changed the next day.
What are the do the guides try to smooth your feathers a little bit? What do they say to you?
No, they know how to deal with different personalities, so they don't mince words.
They don't.
No.
Yeah.
You know, you're there and
this is what it's about, right?
Yep. They expect you to be able to walk miles and miles a day with a pack on your back, not complain.
Yeah, yeah. And they want you to be tough.
You got to be in good shape.
Yeah, and you can't you can't whine. They won't put up with that.
Not at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I probably wouldn't do so well there. So anyway, so finally the weather clears.
Yep, it clears. And there's these mountains in the distance with big snow fields and probably 3 or 4 miles. I don't know how many miles it was away, but the next day we started seeing bears. But they were up high in the snow. And we saw a big 9.5-footer.
Wow.
And he was chasing, you could view it in the spotting scope.
Yeah.
Chasing a younger male bear.
Yeah.
We saw a mother and a couple cubs sliding down. It was just like a movie. They would slide down this big.
Is that a glacier that's there? Or?
They weren't glaciers that we saw. Just.
Right? Is it snow?
It was snow in the mountains.
In the mountains, okay.
And then we're in kind of in the valley, in the tundra.
Okay.
And so you can see where the snow line is. And the bears are up in the snow. So we can't get to them. I mean, it would take you a day just to walk there.
Yeah.
And so we'd watch them in the spotting scope. And then we started to see some closer. And we put a stalk on this one beautiful brown bear. It was a blonde kind of phase. It was about 9 feet tall. And what they do is they dig. You'll find these big pits because they take those big claws and they love ground squirrels.
Oh, do they?
You know, it's like a Big Mac to us. They just love them.
Yeah.
And so they'll just sit on their hind end and they'll dig and get these ground squirrels.
Oh, no kidding.
And so I spotted a bear and we stalked it.
When you say stalk, how far away would the bear be when you stalk?
This is probably a mile away.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you see him through glasses, right?
You've got to get the wind right. Yep. And you got to go through these alders and these big ravines. And the ravines are real nerve-wracking because you go down these ravines and there could be a bear there.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to startle them.
Yeah.
They're big.
Oh, yeah.
And so we make the stalk and we see this beautiful, beautiful bear. He's digging for ground squirrels. And I'm thinking, this is it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, a caribou walks by. And I'll never forget seeing this thing. It went, it just took off running. And it must have run a mile after this caribou, and it was gone just like that. And I was so disappointed because it was the first chance we had to really get a nice bear.
So the bear is chasing the caribou?
It chased the caribou.
Did it really, yeah?
Yeah, so we went after it, and we must have spent an hour and a half, 2 hours after it, and we actually found the caribou. It was a lone caribou, and it was laying down in this tundra marsh, tongue hanging out. I mean, it looked exhausted, but it got away from the bear.
It did escape the
bear. It did. We found it, though.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it was very exciting on the one hand and frustrating on the other.
So no shots taken.
No shots taken. The next several days, we saw a couple bears here and there, but no takers.
Mm-hmm.
We did see a couple huge bears, but couldn't get to them fast enough. And so now we're down to the second to the last day.
Mm. I want to ask you a question before we go any further.
Sure.
I'm a food guy. I'm in a food.
Yeah.
So when you get back to camp, what do you – does a guide cook for you? Do you do your own thing?
He has the little propane heaters.
Yeah.
And, you know, these, what do you call these packs?
You have
the military uses?
The freeze-dried or the MREs?
MREs.
We have an MRE.
Yeah, MREs.
Yeah?
Yep. So you pour the hot water in it and you've got instant whatever.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yep.
So it's about what we do in Colorado.
Same thing, probably.
A freeze-dried thing, you put hot water in it.
And they also had a cooler with, like, chicken and so. He did well, I thought. Yeah. You know, he's not a cook. He's a guide, but he still cooked for us. Yeah.
So we're getting the 4-minute sign, so let's get back to the hunt. All right, so next day what happens?
Second to the last day, we hunt all day, nothing. And it doesn't get dark till midnight. So you can hunt for a long time, and you are exhausted by the end of the day.
Yeah.
So we've got one day left, and the plane's going to come get us. So I'm getting discouraged now. I'm thinking, I'm going to be one of these stats. Spend all this time and money, and we don't get a bear.
Yeah.
And it's about 9:30 at night, and we're walking back to the spike camp, just exhausted.
Yeah.
And my son looks out over the ravine, and he says, I think that's a bear. And the guide puts the binocs on, and I put the binocs on. It is. And it's like, okay, we've got a couple hours before dark.
Yeah.
Do we dare put the stock on it? And I said, let's do it. He asked me, the guide said, we don't have to do this, you know. Yeah. I said, let's do it. Because it's a mile away.
Oh, yeah.
And so we get all of our packs on, and we go after it. And there's this big open field, and the bear is actually feeding on it. It wasn't grass, but it was about, I don't know what it was called, but it was almost looked like a mushroom. It was a plant that I don't know if I've ever seen before.
Yeah.
And it was on the side of a hill eating that. And so the guide had us line up, the three of us, in one line. So if the bear did see us, it would just think there was one thing coming.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And so we lined up. It never did see us. We came to a river. And my son was like, I'm not crossing that. It was cold. It was late.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want you to cross it. And but we did. He didn't. He stayed back on this side. And the guide and I crossed the river, got soaked. And it's raining. It's miserable. But we snuck up on that bear. I don't know. It was at least an hour. And I got about 135 yards away.
Yeah.
And we came up over a little knoll. It was up on the side of a hill, a big hill. And got it in the crosshairs and shot it right through the heart at 135 yards. And it tumbled down the hill and it fell. There was a little piece of ground that came out almost like a little peninsula. And it happened to fall right there instead of in the river. If it had fallen in the river, I don't know. We probably would have got it. I don't know how.
Yeah. Wow.
And that was that.
One shot with a 375.
Yes. Right through the heart.
And so Joseph is on the other side of the river.
He is.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
he had a handgun too. He had a 44. Yeah. He had the 44. We had the 455. Yeah. 454 Casull.
Yeah. So it ended on a good note. Mm.
It did.
Yeah.
Yep. The day before. And they came and got us the next day.
Oh, that's great. What a wonderful trip. We have about a minute left, and any parting thoughts on that? Would you do it again?
I would do it again. I don't have a desire to shoot another brown bear because, you know, I've checked that off the bucket list, but I'd certainly go with someone and be the photographer. And
so it was worth the nasty weather?
It was. I'd like to go next time and go fishing.
Yeah, I bet.
We didn't fish.
Yeah.
But it was amazing.
Okay, and you have the pelt and the skull, right?
I have the skull.
Yeah.
And the pelt is still at the taxidermist
in
Las Vegas.
They take a while, don't they, those
they
taxidermists?
They do. Yeah.
I waited one time 3 years just for a deer head. Amazing. Hey, look, it's been great to have you gents aboard. And
thank you for
having us. Congratulations to you on your hunt. And, Ken, congratulations to you on having such a capable son as a hunter and as a pastor.
Oh, thank you.
Great. And it's a pleasure to have you back as well.
Well.
And we may have you guys back again sometime to talk about some of your African experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much.
Very exciting. Yeah. Thank you for being with us, and great job.
It's our pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
Good luck, dear.
Our guest next week is going to be trout activist and author Bob Mallard. And I think that is bound to be controversial.
Oh, hey, yeah.
That's true. I would think so.
Thank you for being with us, and we'll see you all next week right here on
Maine Outdoors.